He took us to the moon, now he's among the stars. Opponents of a Nantucket Sound wind farm appealed the FAA's ruling. And a bankruptcy judge denies bonuses to Hawker Beechcraft executives. This is Aero News from Monday, August 27, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. No one has been able to look up at the moon in quite the same way after the events of July the 20th, 1969. The first man to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong, passed away Saturday afternoon as a result of complications following recent coronary surgery at the age of 82, with as firm a place in history as any man. Humble, quiet, thoughtful, and the consummate professional, Armstrong looked upon his place in history as a gift not to be squandered but to be honored, and indeed that's the way he lived his life since his return to Earth. Buzz Aldrin, who walked on the moon with Armstrong, said this about his friend and colleague, quote, "Whenever I look at the moon, I am reminded of that precious moment over four decades ago when Neil and I stood on the desolate, barren, yet beautiful Sea of Tranquility, looking back at our brilliant blue planet Earth, suspended in the darkness of space. I realized that even though we were farther away from Earth than two humans had ever been, we were not alone. Virtually the entire world took that memorable journey with us. I know I am joined by many millions of others from around the world in mourning the passing of a true American hero and the best pilot I ever knew. My friend Neil took the small step but giant leap that changed the world and will forever be remembered as a historic moment in human history," end quote. And the Armstrong family offered this to the millions mourning his passing, quote, "For those who may ask what can they do to honor Neil, we have a simple request. Honor his example of service, accomplishment, and modesty. And the next time you walk outside on a clear night and the moon is smiling down at you, think of Neil Armstrong and give him a wink," end quote. After an FAA determination last week that 130 wind turbines that are proposed for a wind farm in Nantucket Sound would not pose any hazard to navigation by GA airplanes, the Alliance to Protect Nantucket Sound has filed an appeal in federal court challenging the decision. The group filing the lawsuit argues that the aviation community believes there are serious risks posed by the 25-square-mile project due to its proposed location in the middle of a highly trafficked low-altitude flight corridor in Nantucket Sound that features rapidly changing weather conditions and 200 days of fog per year. Audra Parker, president of the Alliance to Protect Nantucket Sound, said in a news release Thursday, quote, "Cape Wind would place 130 massive turbines, each over 40 stories tall, in the heart of Nantucket Sound. It's abundantly clear to virtually everyone outside of the FAA that it poses serious safety risk to the flying public," end quote. There have also been allegations that the FAA's approval of the project was driven by political pressure exerted by the White House. The bankruptcy judge overseeing the Hawker Beechcraft court case has denied plans to award bonuses of $5.3 million to eight top HBC executives. Judge Stuart Bernstein says HBC's so-called key employee incentive plan did not meet legal standards that require executives to face challenging goals in order to qualify for such bonuses during a bankruptcy. In short, the judge said the executives were being awarded bonuses simply for staying at their jobs, and thus he was required to deny them. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers had opposed the bonus plan, as did the U.S. Justice Department's Bankruptcy Watchdog Agency. Both had filed formal objections to it. Meanwhile, members of the International Association of Machinists Lodge 733 voted overwhelmingly to ratify a new pension plan at Hawker Beechcraft on Friday morning. When the votes were counted, officials said 97% of those voting said yes to the new plan. The plan keeps pensions for hourly employees, but future accruals will be frozen as of December 31st of this year. It also creates a new retirement income savings plan and maintains the existing 401k plan. The changes had been unanimously supported by the union leadership, according to a report in the Wichita Eagle. Several employees told the paper that they felt they had no choice but to approve the plan and that it was the best they were going to get. HBC executives said approval of the plan would mean the company's headquarters would stay in Wichita for at least 10 years and maintain current employment levels at about 4,000. Workers told the paper that approving the plan gave them some assurance that their pensions would be preserved, even with the ongoing bankruptcy negotiations. Pensions for non-union and salaried employees will be taken over by the Pension Benefits Guarantee Fund, an agency of the federal government. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police is integrating small UAV helicopters into its crime-fighting arsenal. The aircraft, which are about 3 feet long, carry high-definition still and video cameras that can relay photographs and video to officers on the ground. RCMP Corporal Byron Charbonneau, a traffic collision reconstructionist, said the top-down view adds a, quote, third perspective to your investigation, end quote. The Mounties also plan to deploy the aircraft in areas that could be considered dangerous for people, such as hazardous spills, according to a report appearing in the Times Colonist newspaper. They would be used to assess situations and determine risk factors before people were sent into the area. The Ontario Provincial Police already use similar aircraft, but the RCMP version is reportedly custom-made. The aircraft cost about $30,000 each and are slightly heavier than the stock model, so they can fly in stronger winds, the RCMP says. The RCMP also said that the UAVs will not be used in any way that would violate a citizen's privacy. Wind Aero News continues. The United States retains the world championship in hot air ballooning. Boeing marks a Dreamliner anniversary. And there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, August 27th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Nick Donner of Fisherville, Kentucky is the new world champion hot air balloonist. Donner claimed the title Saturday after a week of competitions in Battle Creek, Michigan. Defending world champion John Petrin finished second, while Yudai Fujita of Japan was third. Donner's younger brother Chase finished fourth, as Team USA claimed three of the top five positions. Uwe Schneider of Germany rounded out the top five. Some 103 pilots representing 30 countries participated in the World Championship, hosted by the Balloon Federation of America and sanctioned by the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale. The World Championships of Ballooning are held every 2 years, and the next will be staged in Brazil in 2014. Donner knows the Battle Creek flying area extremely well, as he won the 2009, 2010, and 2011 U.S. National Championships back-to-back-to-back when held there. He has won a total of five U.S. National Championships. It's been quite a month for the Donner family, as a matter of fact, as younger brother Chase won his first U.S. National Championship just 3 weeks ago in Longview, Texas. Elsewhere, four people were fatally injured when a hot air balloon on a sightseeing flight was swept up into a storm in Slovenia on Thursday. 28 others on board the aircraft were injured when it impacted the ground and caught fire, according to a report from the Associated Press. The official Slovenian news agency STA reported that there were two balloons operating in the area when the storm came up. The second balloon managed to land safely. The leader of the firefighting team said that by the time they arrived at the scene, the balloon was already on the ground and burning. It was not clear if it caught fire in the air or post-impact. This balloon was one of the largest passenger-carrying balloons in the world. The sport aviation world is also mourning the loss of Hank and Carol Austin, two of power parachuting's most active proponents and pioneers in aviation media circles as producers of Flightline Television. The two were killed Friday when their tandem PPC went down in an area known as Test Hill in Golden Township, Michigan. Well, it seems like it wasn't all that long ago when we were reporting that Boeing first flew its Dreamliner, and now the plane maker is celebrating the one-year anniversary of certification of the 787. On August 26, 2011, both the FAA and EASA granted type certificates for the all-new jetliner. In addition, the FAA added the 787 to the Boeing production certificate. To date, 17 787s have been delivered to airlines, and the program has more than 800 unfilled orders with 58 customers worldwide. The in-service airplanes are performing as expected, with dispatch reliability ratings equal to previous Boeing models, including the 777. Larry Loftus, the vice president and general manager of the 787 program, says, quote, "It's been a great 12 months for the 787 team, and better yet, we see a long, bright future for this program," end quote. It seemed almost like a scene from a sleeper Tom Hanks movie when a Virginia family found themselves having to live at the airport for a week. The Saxton family from Virginia spent almost a week in the airport at Salt Lake City before they could fly home. According to Yahoo News, the family used a relative's buddy pass on JetBlue to make their initial journey. The problem with the buddy pass is that all paying passengers and standby passengers get boarded ahead of you. You get on only if there are seats still available. And unfortunately for the Saxtons, no seats were available from August the 15th to the 21st. The family was also financially challenged. You could argue they probably should never have made the flight anyway, since they couldn't afford to be stranded, nor could they afford to buy a return ticket home. And since they were stuck in the terminal and not on an airplane, the passenger's Bill of Rights did not apply. During their week at the airport, they could not shower and slept on benches. Money was so tight, the family could only afford one meal a day, what with the typically overpriced airport food. Before the ordeal was over, I'd bet the Saxton family were trying everything, including clicking their heels together three times and reciting, "There's no place like home, there's no place like home." Unfortunately, none of them were wearing ruby slippers. Finally, the good fairy did show up, though, in the form of United Airlines, who bought the family a hotel room for the night, and an anonymous donor who purchased the family a ticket home. Somehow, Robert Louis Stevenson's Requiem just doesn't sound the same if read, "Home is the sailor, home from the sea, and the hunter, home from the hill, and the Saxtons, home from the airport." Well, we're glad they're home nonetheless. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.